Well, I want you to think for a minute about the presents under your Christmas tree. Now, don't go trying to think what's in them. It's not yours to know right now. But I want you to think about how they're wrapped. Think about that. You probably never thought of that before, how the presents under your tree are wrapped, but there are all kinds of different packages under our trees, right? Some of them are the gift bags with the tissue paper coming out of them. Those are the ones that are, I would say, quickly thrown together and put under the tree. You know what I mean. And then there's those, the gifts under the tree that are colorful. They're wrapped. You make sure the wrapping paper covers the whole box. You use an inordinate amount of tape, and you put a makeshift bow on it, and some of you go to Target and just slap one of those pre-made bows on it. It looks pretty, but it's a bit messy. But then there's the perfect gift. The professionally wrapped one, you know the one. It's the thick wrapping paper, and every corner and edge is tucked in just perfectly, just the right amount of tape, in the right places, not too much, not too little, a perfectly tied bow around the box, and then the tag at the corner, the perfectly wrapped box. I've seen a lot of packages over the holidays, gone to a lot of Christmas parties, seen them under my own tree. And I can't help but step back and think, the way those packages are wrapped under our trees reflect a lot about how we live our lives. I want you to think about this. They symbolize the way in which many of us live our lives. Think of the first one, the gift bag. It's the one that's quickly thrown together. It symbolizes the person here tonight that rushes through life. You're on the go. You don't slow down. You're constantly running from one thing to the next. You don't stop long enough to catch your breath, let alone really savor the moment very often. And for some of you here, you're waiting for December to be over because it's been frantic and you've just run through the month, preparing for the parties, the shopping, the preparations, everything. And you're like, I'm so ready for it to be over with. But the reality is, for those of you who fall into that category, that's really symptomatic of how you live your life every day. You live your life chasing the clock. You go and you go and you go and you don't slow down. If I were to tell you which of these packages represents me, I would have to say this one probably does. I'll tell you a little story. Many years ago, when I was at a church in Houston, our church office was in an office building, and it was on the sixth floor. And I can remember numerous times walking in the lobby, pushing the elevator button, waiting and waiting, a couple of seconds. If the elevator didn't come quick enough, I would walk around the corner down the hall and walk up six flights of stairs. I'm one of those, I don't like to waste my time. And when you're standing there waiting for an elevator, to me, that's a waste of time because you can't accomplish something. Can many of you relate to that tonight? You just go and go and go, because the more you go, the faster you go, the more you do, the more accomplishments you have, the greater your value, the greater your worth. You see yourself as important. But others of you are like the second package I was referencing. It's that one that looks okay, but it's messy. Your life is messy. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what your house looks like. I'm just talking about the whole of your life. You do everything you can to try to hold it together. And you've got all these things swirling around, and it's like you just can't get ahead because there's so many distractions, so many things coming at you. You try to hold it together, but you can't. And it's one challenge after another. For some, it may be financial hardship. Or it may be a challenging relationship with a family member or other kind of messy relationships that you have. And so you live your life distracted, disillusioned, overwhelmed, and at times you even feel defeated. You think, how am I going to make it through this day? And you do, and you go to bed exhausted, only to wake up, and there's the mess again. And you just get right back into it. But then there's the perfectly wrapped package. People look at you. They look at your life. And they go, they've got it all together. I wish my life was like that. Everything they do is perfect. Look how they look. Look at their home. Look at their car. Everything is neat and in order. It's the perfect life. Everything in your life seems to be impeccable. You know, it's like the Christmas cards you get in the mail. You know the ones that have the letter attached to it. You've read it. Maybe you've sent it. But it's the letter that goes out. It's the letter that goes out, and it says how perfect your family's been this year. How your kids have all excelled in school. How excellent they are. How they've excelled in their academics and in their athletics and their musical abilities. I'm not even going to go to what you say about you and your wife or your spouse, but everything in there, it's this perfectly painted picture. You paint yourself because everything has got to look good. You live with high expectations of yourself and of others. But the problem with this perfectly wrapped package is this. You're enslaved to an image. You're enslaved to trying to have it all together, and you feel an enormous amount of pressure. You know you struggle, but you're not about to let anybody else know, and so you hide. Because your image, your value and worth is all based on how other people see you. And so you live your life trying to keep it all together, that perfectly wrapped package. Have I nailed everyone in here? I find myself in all of those, frankly, from time to time. But let me tell you, why do I talk about these packages? Because I believe they give us insight into the way in which we live our lives. They become a mirror of how we see ourselves. You see, all of this points to the reality that we need intervention. We all need intervention. You know why? Because we're all trying to manage our lives. We're all trying to do everything we can in whatever package you find yourself in. We're trying to manage our lives, and it's exhausting. And if we're really honest with ourselves, it doesn't work. Did you hear the gospel reading tonight? A good news of a great joy. Listen to these words again that the angel proclaimed. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, to the shepherds out in the country, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, I want you to let that sink in for a moment. A good news of great joy that is for all who receive it. It's a good news of great joy that says, stop trying to manage your life because the Savior has come. God, in His grace, in His abundant love for you and me, knows how often and how we live our lives trying to manage it. The gift bag, the messy package, the perfect one, whatever. We're all trying to manage our lives. And He knows that we can't. And so He came among us because He's the only one who could. You see, that's why we're here tonight. That's why we come and celebrate the birth of our Savior, because God came among us to live that perfect life that we're all trying to live, but we can't. And He came and He died so that you and I could begin to see what does it look like to live a life of freedom, to live a life free from trying to manage ourselves. The glory of what we celebrate tonight is the reality that we come honestly before our lives and unwrap what's there. And we can do it because our Savior came to transform our lives, to make us different, to make us more and more into His image. You see, He came to break into those patterns, into those habits that we find ourselves living in this rat race. And He comes to give us a message good news of great joy that we've been set free. Here's the good news. For those of you here tonight that your life is like that gift bag quickly thrown together and you're rushing through life because all your value and worth comes from your accomplishments, the good news of great joy is that the Savior has come, and he's come to say, stop striving. Stop striving. Listen to these words that Jesus said, and it's recorded in Matthew. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For those of you who are racing through life, come be still. Come to the Savior and find that he alone is your rest. He alone will meet you in those places. And he will give you what your heart and your soul is longing for. It's only found in the Savior's presence, nowhere else. I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm 16. He writes, in the Lord's presence, there is fullness of joy. In the Lord's presence. Not in those gifts that are under the tree. It'll be fun. But that's not where ultimate joy is found. Ultimate joy is not found in a relationship here. Ultimate joy is found in the presence of the Lord. And for us to truly experience it, we've got to allow him to grab hold of our hearts, to slow us down, to be still, and to come into his presence. You see, the message is stop striving. You don't have to prove yourself. You're already accepted because Christ came. For the one who is trying really hard, and your life is an absolute mess, the good news of great joy for you tonight is that Christ is with you in your mess. I want you to hear that again. That Christ is with you in your mess. So often we try to clean it all up to make it better. That's not the reality of life most of the time. What you and I really need to know is that Christ is with us in our mess. Listen to these words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. Do you hear those glorious words? God is our refuge and strength. He's in the midst of us. Friends, that's what we need to hear tonight. In the midst of the mess of life, the peace you really need to know is that our Savior has come and he is with us in all of the mess, and he leads us through because he's come into the mess to walk through it with us. That's what we need to know. And then for the one who's that perfect package, you've got it all together, or at least it looks like it. The good news of great joy that I want you to hear tonight is that your Savior says, I'm enough. He's enough. You don't need anything else. You don't need to strive. You don't need to try to keep working at it. You don't need to try to keep managing your image when you know that Christ is enough. Listen to these words that the prophet Jeremiah wrote. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. When we know that in Christ we are loved with an everlasting love, we no longer have to hide. We no longer have to try to keep up an image. Because the love of our Savior breaks down those barriers. It enables us to come in our sin with all of our junk and not hide it, but come openly to the one who freely forgives us and who welcomes us with his open arms. You need to hear that your weakness has been covered by the blood of Christ. Amen? Our weakness, our sin, our failures, our shame has been covered by the blood of Christ. So the message is stop trying to put an image together, because the only image we have is the image of Christ. And that's the glory of what God came to do as he came among us. When you look at your tree tonight and you look down at all those gifts, when you wake up and there may be more tomorrow morning, I want you to think about how those presents are wrapped. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the one who came down from heaven and was wrapped in swaddling cloths to go to the cross for you and me, who would ultimately wrap us in his perfect righteousness. That's the glorious news of the gospel, that in Christ we have been wrapped in his righteousness. Friends, that is good news of great joy. And that's why we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And it doesn't need to be our song just tonight or tomorrow, but may that be the song of our hearts every day. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.